We're stood beside our dry meadow, which was designed in about 2012-2013 by James Hitchmo from Sheffield University. And it's a bit of an experiment in what will work in our dry conditions here in Cambridge. And all the plants were selected by him as a bespoke mix to come to Cambridge for our conditions. So it's a really special planting for us. What's been amazing about it is seeing it evolve. So when they sowed the seed, most of it was seed sown, it was actually winter and we were conscious that we needed to have stratification so that the plants were exposed to frost to germinate, but it actually snowed when he was coming, so the horticultural team were out here desperately trying to get snow raked off. The ground was stripped of the turf that was here, we put a layer of sand down and that's actually helped everything bed in, and it's just evolved to be this fantastic mix and spread of plants from prairies and South Africa.
This is the amazing thing. We've done quite a lot on meadows on this programme. And so people, you know, I keep saying, picture a meadow, you know what we're talking about, you know, wafting grasses, the odd pinprick of colour from the wildflowers. But this, you mentioned that word prairie, and that's why this looks so different. Because if people picture a meadow, they're probably not thinking of this. And this is really out of this world beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing. So it's just strikingly colourful. Species that are now thriving are quite strong growing, and it's a mix of material from South Africa but also Asian steppe and North American prairie, so it's a real combination, but it does have a real prairie feel of just immense diversity of colour, shape and form, and it works so well.
What are the main species then that I can see?
So you can see in here there's an oregano, which is just going everywhere and is actually becoming very, very dominant, and that's sort of regular European Mediterranean plant really, but then mixed amongst it you can see this whole range of other things. So there's the familiar giant oat, Stipa gigantea, and we've got Echinops ritro, so globe thistles here, and we've got one of the Niphophias over here, and with this lovely orange, you know, spike of flower just piercing through, and then we've got various, you know, umbels coming through, so these flat topped white flowers, which are great for attracting bees particularly. Things like euphorbias in here, we've got evening primroses, so selections of evening primrose, and it's just something that just continues to give pretty much all year. So there's constant interest and constant flower almost from late winter, early spring. So in the shady areas we have things like some of the primroses, which thrive again in these drier conditions, and just right now through until almost December there will be interest, because once this all goes over from flowering you're just left with the structural interest, so you know, spikes and forms really of different plants, which just look amazing if you get a kind of hoarfrost.
It's lovely. This really evolves, and it seems to be an absolute star amongst the pollinators. I'm looking around, there are butterflies flitting about in the distance, loads of bumblebees and honeybees by our feet.
Yeah, definitely. So there are so many things that really attract pollinators as well. It's kind of a double whammy, so that gave us extra bonus to the planting really. So it has evolved, and I think it's been more than any of us expected. So I think, you know, the success with the pollinators has been really, really good, but also the fact that actually you could never achieve this planting if you were planting. It had to be seed sown, because you've just got this phenomenal network and interwoven planting that I think would be really, really hard to achieve if you were actually physically planting out plants.
In terms of space, this is probably a couple of tennis courts or something?
Yeah, a couple of tennis courts probably getting on that way. So yeah, it's a reasonable space.
So you probably wouldn't have a space this big at home, but say you had a patch, what would you have to do if you were going to set about creating this kind of meadow?
I think really the first thing you want to do is strip out the site and actually try and get low nutrients. So you might need to actually take out some of your topsoil, because a lot of these things flourish on poor soils, and that's what we've got here in Cambridge, and that's what makes the mix special, because it is matched to our conditions. So strip out the soil, get rid of nutrients, because you don't want lush growth. If you've got lots of lush growth, certain things will thrive and dominate and other things will just get, you know, completely smothered almost, and you just need to try with the planting to get it looking as natural and unthought about as possible almost, which sounds contrary to everything anybody does in a garden. If you're gardening, it's a quite artificial process, but for this the key really I think is just almost throwing things in, seeing where they land and going with it. Pretty much everything is from seed. There were one or two key plants, such as the giant oat, so the stipe,
that
was bought in as a plant.
Cheated.
But it was, you know, to add those punctuations and just to make sure they established. But pretty much everything else was sown from the get-go.
What are these amazing things over here? Because I don't think I certainly haven't grown them. They look, I suppose, to the leaf, a lot of people would think they're a bit weedy because they're quite thistly, but the flower is outstanding.
It's one of the highlights of the planting, actually. It's a South African thistle, so you can see it is heavily barbed, called Burkea purpurea, and it just forms this spike, flower spike of these, you know, very pale pink, typical daisy-type flowers, and it is just a real star. So it thrives in dry, hot conditions coming from South Africa, and yeah, it's very, very happy here, and you can see it, you know, piercing its way through the rest of the planting all through here.
And how many of these plants happily self-seed? I mean, obviously some of them are looking like they're not taking over, but you know, some of them are more dominant than others.
Yeah, definitely. So things like the oregano has actually become most dominant, so it's self-seeded, but it's also spread, just, you know, it's a clump forming plant and spread through. So at some point I think we're going to have to intervene and actually, you know, thin some of these dominant plants out. But yeah, it, in some ways it's a bit of a sort of experiment to see what thrives, what doesn't, what survives in this ever-changing kind of landscape, because every year is different. You can't predict what's going to happen or what's going to be dominant or what's going to flourish. It is just such a dynamic landscape.